Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, where we have got an Ebor special for you. Your Saturday is sorted once again. We've got tips, insight, everything you need to know for a busy Saturday of racing with every ITV race covered over the next half an hour or so. As I mentioned, it is the Ebor Festival. We've got the big handicap covered in detail at the very start of the show. We'll also be looking at the newest Group 1 on the calendar. That's the City of York upgraded from a Group 2. Will it be Rosalien's big day? Just over 6 days on from being ruled out in France. We'll have that race dissected as well as the tricky Melrose at York. We'll also be taking a look at two televised races from Goodwood. Plenty of big action from the South Downs as well. And joining me on the show to look at the action, we've got tipster Harry Wilson, handicapper Johnny Pearson, and as always, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. And as you might see, any eagle-eyed viewers, Ed is at the Ibrox room in Unibet HQ in Gibraltar. That's why the Rangers shirt might be just behind him. But from Ibrox to York is where we start. It is the Ebor Festival, as I mentioned. It's good to firm, good in places at the time of recording on Thursday. And our first race is, of course, the 3:35. Where else can you start than the Sky Bet Ebor race? Now, we know all about Willie Mullins dominating on the jumps. It's not long to go, but it all starts. But could he dominate here at York? Well, he's got the favourite, Hip Hop Delore, at 3-1. Ethical Diamond, also trained by Mullins, is at 11-2. French Master and London City, 7-1. Shadow Dance, 11-1. Ascending 12s, Majestic Warrior, 14s. Almond Shear, 16s, as well as Mr. Percy. Aeronautic at 16-1, as well as Killavar. Siege of Troy, 18-1. Enemy, 22. Let's start with you. Our red hot tipster, Harry Wilson, talk us through the Ebor on Saturday.
Yeah, hi James. The Ebor, as usual, very, very competitive. It's not really a surprise that the Mullins horse is favourite, given how unlucky he looked last year. But I'm going a different route. I've had a couple of horses in mind for the Ebor for months, and only one has made the cut, and that's Shadow Dance for Roger Varian. He landed the mile and a half handicap at York on Nunthorpe Day last year. And then he proved he stayed this longer trip when third at Doncaster next time. That form was really solid. The winner won twice in his next four. The third won a listed race next time. And the fourth won the Chester Cup on his next flat start after a spell over hurdles. So the form couldn't look more solid. He had what screamed of a pipe opener at Goodwood, hung out the back over a mile and a quarter, just staying on through beaten horses. And this has clearly been the plan. The one worry that I've got is the quick ground. But to me, that ground yesterday didn't look ridiculously quick, and that should be fine. So Shadow Dance for me and you, Ebor, James.
Yeah, he's 11-1 chance. Let's bring you in, Johnny. This is one of the big handicaps. Where does it rank in terms of the Pearson favourite handicaps of the year? You a fan?
I mean, it's a decent race, but it wouldn't be my favourite. They're horses that fundamentally aren't that fast. That's why they're running over 1 mile 6 furlongs. You know, your big mile handicaps tend to... what's that race with 30 runners across the track at Newmarket? That's always a good one.
Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, that's the one.
So good you can remember the name, Johnny.
Yeah, I had Cesarevich in my head, but that's a 2 mile race. So, yeah. But no, it's a good race. And I've had London City on my radar before he ran last time. He won at York last year, beating a line of stars, and then didn't run very well at Limerick. Wasn't seen for just over a year. Would have needed the run and return. And then last time he was in a group two, came 5th or 7th. He was out the back pretty much the whole race, finished best part of 7 lengths behind Our Effort. But that's, you know, really strong piece of form. And I still think, and Aidan said they've had this in mind for the best part of the year, this race for him. So I'd be surprised if he's not tuned up and ready to go. But when I was looking at jockey bookings, and then I've got a bit of concern because Ryan Moore's on Queenstown, which is, what, 30-1 shot or something, and London City 7-1. They said I don't mind, I've had the race in mind all year. But Ryan Moore's on the seemingly outsider. So that sort of puts me off a bit. But I still think London City's well handicapped and should run well.
It's a 7-1 chance. We'll come to you, Ed. Just before we get stuck into your selection, what's the market been telling us in the last few weeks. And I mean, the Ebor's always one of the popular betting races of the year, right?
Yeah, James, always a cracking race. One of the races, the handicaps of the year. Plenty of anti-post action for most of the summer, actually, with horses winning and running well, because this is the race that most trainers want to win with a staying handicapper, isn't it? £300,000 to the winner. Just think of that. £300,000 for the winner of a handicap, making it the richest handicap in Europe. Plenty of horses with chances. You mentioned which ones have been backed. We saw money for London City, but we haven't seen much more money since in the last few days. He was backed at big odds, 16s, 14s, 12s. The two significantly well-backed horses at bigger odds, Ian Williams, his horses are always worth looking at in these staying handicaps. He certainly, I think, improves horses when stepping up in trip. And there's a couple here that maybe that's not the case because they've been running over this sort of trip for a long time. But Enemy was backed from 100 to 1 into 20 to 1. And on the other side of the coin, there's a very lightly raced individual that James Tate trains called Majestic Warrior, who was backed from 33s into 16s. He's won first time out after a couple of years off. So that's an interesting one. Could be anything. Potentially, some people think is well handicapped. Yeah, but it is a really interesting race. Good angles to go on as well, I think, in this race. We are going six places on the Ebor with Unibet. Everyone talks about Willie Mullins' record in this race, and he has got a great record. 16 runners, two wins and a place. John Gosden's got a very good record in this race. I was looking back on my data, and 12 runners, two winners, and a further three places, one of them being Sweet William. And it's quite interesting because he's got a very interesting horse here in French Master, who I obviously give a chance to. One blinkered first time at Royal Ascot, goes for the visor first time here, not got the grace of draws, but a Serb did win in draw 24. And I think that this horse may be following the footsteps of Sweet William. He might be a cup horse of the future. And he's rated 108. Gosden won at this race in 2018 with Mutar, who won off 109. So, yeah, it can be done. So the Gosden horse I'm very interested in. But there's another one. When I was looking at the stats, James, and you're like this, I couldn't believe Johnny Murta has only had three runners in the Ebor and he's won two. I think that's right. And obviously a great jockey who's become a very shrewd trainer. And he's sending over Siege of Troy, who ran only once in the UK. All his other races have been Ireland, but he ran in Royal Ascot behind one of the favourites here in Ethical Diamond, finishing fourth. That was a good run by Siege of Troy. Got a rating of 99 here. Has subsequently run in Ireland and ran really well against two 210 rated horses, so much so that the handicappers put him up £3. But he can run off his old handicap mark of 99. So he's around about 25 to 1. And if you like Ethical Diamond, I think you've got to like this horse based upon the weights and measures, because he's going into that race at Royal Ascot, he was giving £3 to Ethical Diamond. He gets £5 from Ethical Diamond, can run off his old mark of 99. He's got another £7 coming off the back because there's an apprentice riding him who's quite experienced, 18 from 189 rides. I just thought Siege of Troy at 25 to 1 was a fair price each way, especially with the extra places. And the final cherry on the top is running over 1.6 for the first time. In his races recently, he's been running on at the end of mile and a half races. I think this has got the hallmarks of another Johnny Murta special. And I'm backing Siege of Troy at big odds.
Yeah, and of course, trainer with Sonny Boy. Listen, not too many years ago, Johnny Murta, as you say. Siege of Troy could be perhaps an outsider to watch. Thanks for that. Ed, and you mentioned French Master as well. Just touch on that. Visor is on Saturday. So plenty to like about his chances. Let's move on, though, to the second race we're going to look at. This is the 3 o'clock at York, the Sky Bet City of York Stakes, which is, as I mentioned, at the top of the show, a brand new Group 1 upgraded from Group 2 status for this year. Now, Rosalian missed the Jacques Lamar in France on Sunday. Bit of a setback meant he couldn't run, but instead we get to see him at York on Saturday. So a bit of a win for us, and he is your favourite at 13-8. Never So Brave at 5-2. Menorah Charlie, 11-2. Lake Forest has some classy form on his day at 11-1. Audience, 12-1. Quirat, hey, can he pull off another surprise? He's 16-1. Not quite 150-1 on Saturday. Quinault, also 16-1. Seagulls, 11 for the Brighton boys. And Exactly, also 16s. 10 Bob Tony, 28-1. and a NAF 66-1. Ed, let's come straight back to you. We obviously know Unibet is the place for the Richard Hannam blog. What do we know about Rosalian after events in the last 7 days?
Yeah, Bruce Foot seems perfectly okay now. They're disappointed to miss that opportunity, but in hindsight, this looks a much easier Group One, doesn't it? Over the distance he's got to race here is quite interesting, because he's been running over a mile for much of his life and then drops down to this 7 furlongs for this brand new Group One race. If you look at the opposition, it's nothing like the horses he's been taking on before. He is the best horse in the race. It's unbelievable he hasn't won this year. But this is his easiest chance, and he just wins. If you're going 7-4, 13-8, Rosalian, and a couple of weeks ago you say that Never So Brave was 5-2, 11-4, there's only one way you'd bet, isn't there? Obviously, Never So Brave is better than we thought, or that he'd shown. But Rosalian at 7-4 against this field, I just think it's worth taking. We'd be going super boost in this race as well. So every horse will be the next price up on the ladder from 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay, Rosalian is Ed's selection. Now, bring you in, Harry, on Rosalian, because there's two ways you can look at this. He's unlucky. He's needed the run first time in the Lockinge. He's just beaten in the Queen Anne, and then he's beaten in, well, what was a very strange race in the Sussex Stakes. Are these legitimate excuses, or perhaps is he just being a bit second best?
I think the reappearance was definitely the excuse. I think you can excuse any horse their reappearance. But there's no real reason why he hasn't won the last twice. All right, I know Sean Levy blamed himself last time, but I don't think he did a lot wrong. Everyone expected Kirat to come back, and he was the only one who made any inroads, and he almost won. But, James, I'll pose you a different one, and that I only ever back Rosalian. I love Rosalian, but I only ever back him when he's right-handed round the bend over a mile.
Okay.
And he's had that three times in his life, won the Irish Guineas, won the St. James's Palace, and then he comes second last time at Goodwood. I just think those are his conditions. Left-handed, I think, has to be a worry after what we saw in the Champagne as a two-year-old. I know that was soft ground and he probably didn't like it, but horses do love conditions. And I think the biggest worry for me is the trip. Rosalian is known for doing all his best work at the finish over a mile. His best furlong is usually his last. And I know there's a lot of pace in this race, but we've seen them not come back loads of times recently, and I just think he'll be getting going too late.
Okay, so Rosalian's taken on. Who would you want to take him on with, though, Harry?
The only proper 7 furlong horse in the race, as far as I can tell, is Marinoa Charlie. He's coming over from France. He's only ever lost one race over 7 furlong, and that was a pre-John Pratt last time when he finished in front of Shadow of Light and the Lion in Winter. That's a really solid bit of form. And I actually think it came on unfavoured soft ground for him. I think he's going to be a much better horse and much quicker ground. There is a lot of pace in this race. You can't emphasise that enough. And he is one of those who will go forward. But if we're talking about quality pace, he's the one who will stay there. He's the one who can kick off a quick pace. And if there is one horse in the race that I'd back, it'd be him.
Fascinating insight, Harry. Interesting to see how you visualise this race turning out to be. Well, time will tell what it'll be like. I think we all had planned. We all thought we knew how the Jubmont was going to work out, and I don't think anyone quite got it right, apart from Godolphin, perhaps. Johnny, interesting thoughts on Rosalian. Are you with or against?
I am reluctantly with, I think. I mean, you look back at... I mean, you just mentioned the Jubmont yesterday. That was... I mean, all the jockeys, apart from Rab Havlin, gave their horses bad rides, and the best horse in the race got away with it. William Buick got away with it, essentially. And you look at the race Kirat won at Goodwood. Again, the only horse to really get a good ride was the winner. And hopefully we don't see things like that keep on happening. But I'm not concerned about the drop to 7 furlongs for him. I don't think that'd be a problem. Just think if he was, you know, simply too far back last time, things just a bit unlucky at Royal Ascot, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that. He's got the best form in the race. He's the best horse in the race. You know, you look at Lake Forest, he's very difficult to win with, so I wouldn't want to back him. You know, you 10 Bob Tony actually might have an outside chance at 50-1, but I could see him running into the places because it's not that strong a race. He's run once this season, haven't been gelded. Beat Ken Ross on his only appearance, over 7 furlongs. And, you know, he clearly goes well fresh and he could actually massively outrun his odds. But I think Rosalien should be too good for the rest of them here.
Okay, so two shouts for Rosalien there. And just before we move on from this race, of course, that Unibet blog will be the place to go for any updates on Rosalien ahead of the City of York on Saturday. Fascinating to see how it goes on. And great to see Britain have a Group 1 over 7 furlongs for older horses. So best of luck on that one. Let's move to the 225 at York, the Sky Bet Melrose Handicap. No, not quite named after our tipster, but a quality staying handicap, no less, where your favourite is Tarrant's at 100 to 30, Golden Handshake and Sea of Kings for Wafnan Racing at 11 to 2, Polestar at 7s, Daiquiri Bay 8 to 1, Many Men 10s, Fantasy World 10s, Talesman Time 11s, Boatswain 14 and Novelista 14, 22 to 1 bar. Harry, let's start with you. What do you like in the big Melrose handicap?
Yeah, the Melrose is always a cracker, James, and usually a form line to follow. It'd be really interesting to see what happens. Obviously, you're looking for an improver. These three-year-olds, they tend to be improving anyway. But the one that the market seems to have forgotten about is Talisman's Time, trained by Ed Bethel. He's gone the unfashionable route and he's had a couple of starts at Hamilton. And obviously, not a lot of people I don't know about my fellow judges here, but not a lot of people have the time to watch evening meeting at Hamilton and looking for form lines. But this one, he's been finishing really well. He won over a mile free, defeating an odds-on favourite on his first start at 3. And then he was backed off the boards to win a handicap last time, and he couldn't have won easier, really. He's gone up a bit for that, but not much. And he's come into this race with form figures that I like, that he's progressing nicely. And I just think he's a bit forgotten about. Callum Rodriguez is a very good jockey, and Ed Bethel's brilliant in these big handicaps. So if one's overpriced, it's going to be Talisman's Time.
Talisman Time for Harry. Johnny, what's your selection?
A bit of a cliff horse, which is Daiquiri Bay. They're upping him trip to mile 6 for the first time, which I think should suit. Ross Orion's back on board, and I think he's absolutely mustard as a jockey. And, I mean, he'll give it a good go, and I think he can outrun his price, you know, sort of 10 to 1. Whereas, I mean, there's a number in here you can make a case for. They're 3-year-olds, staying trip, not too many runs between them. But I think Daiquiri Bay, up and trip, can improve as a result, and he's the one I'd want to be with.
Yeah, he is an 8-1 chance. I will emphasise what Harry said as well. This is always a good race to follow, so watch it back at least 2 or 3 times because there's so many angles for the rest of the season. Ed Nicholson, if you're watching along, is nodding along with my comment on that one. What's your selection here? Fan of a race as well, I'm sure, Ed.
Love the race. The 3-year-old Zebor used to be called back in my day. Never used to be run on the same day. I remember it being run on the Thursday or the Friday. I remember backing a horse called Great Marquis, trained by Henry Cecil, owned by Charles St. George. What a good horse he was. I think he then became a cup horse, and plenty of these, that will be their aim, I think, to try and become cup horses in their later years. And I'm a big, as you know, I've already mentioned it, I'm a big like trainer for races. And I like William Haggis is here with a Golden Handshake. No trainer has won this race more times this century than William Haggis. 3 times he's won this race with Solcombe, Hamish and Guarantee. He's had a further place in this race as well from just 14 runners. And Golden Handshake looks, I mean, they're all like this. They're all improving 3-year-olds who hopefully for connection's sake will go on and be group horses. But Golden Handshake, owned by His Majesty and Her Majesty, looks a horse who's just destined to go further and higher in racing. Only had a handicap win recently. That was at the last race was at Newbury, when it wasn't visually that impressive and had to be shaken up by Tom Marquand, but just the way he did it, he looks green as grass still. The form of that race hasn't worked out at all. I don't think another horse in that race has won a race since, but it's just the way that Golden Handshake did it. He's relatively inexperienced. I'm sure there are plenty of horses that William Haggis have that could have run in this race. and he likes this race, and he's chosen Golden Handshake. So that's the one for me. But yeah, I agree with what's been said so far. This race is a really cracking race and well worth looking back on, because there will be plenty of winners going on, not just this season, but next season and seasons in the future as well.
Certainly will be. Let's just quick spin through the other two remaining races on ITV. That's going to be the 150, the Group 3 Strensel Stakes, and the 410, the Constantine Handicap. Two races on ITV, as I said, at 150 and 410. First and last race you'll see there. Let's go to you, Johnny. What's your two selections in those, if you've got one in both?
I haven't got one in the 410, but in the 150, I'm going to be with King's Gambit for Harry Charlton, James Doyle. He ran at Ascot behind Hartam in the listed race, and I felt wasn't given the best ride ever, and actually felt he possibly should have won the race. I think a similar performance should be good enough to win what looks against quite an ordinary bunch. I think he looks on all our Racing Post ratings and all the rest of it, he's the best horse in the race, and it's the one they've got to beat.
Yeah, he's hard to judge. It's a brave man to go with King's Gambit, but he does look the horse to beat. He's his favourite as it stands here as we time recording on Thursday afternoon. What about you, Harry? These two races, the 150 and the 410?
In the 150, I'm going to take a chance on Beaumark for John Thady Gosden. I was there at Kempton when he made his debut, and he's one of those moments where your eyes sort of open and you sort of take that horse on for life, if you know what I mean. And he finished really fast. The race was in a good time that compared well with the listed race on the same card. He's progressed nice enough this season. He was a really, really easy winner on his visit to York over a mile. I think you can forgive him last time. He was really keen in front in the French Derby. Obviously, Group 1 against his own age group, but he's dropping slightly back in trip, which I think will help, and massively dropping in class. And if there's one who could improve past the favourite, it's going to be him. And then the 410, I've got two for you, James. I'm going to go with Milford, who ran into Prince of India in the Shergar Cup last time. That horse is destined for group races. Milford's up £3, 6 furlongs at York should be perfect for him. And you can just see him going from the front and being hard to peg back. But the other one in that race that I really like, I just think he's frankly a stupid price, and that's Nimitz. He's a Swedish horse. He came ninth at Goodwood, and he was the only one from his side to finish in the first 11. That was over 5 furlong. All his form in Sweden is over 6 and 7. Stepping up in trip is only going to help. The quicker ground should help as well. And I just think, like, if you're going to get extra places, why not stick a quid on him each way?
I'll tell you what, Harry, I don't mind if you're going to give us two selections if one of them is 66 to 1. The Swedish contender, Nimitz, is it? Nimitz, yeah, I think so. Milford as well for Harry. And of course, in that 150, he's also tipped up Beaumark. Ed, let's have your selections for those two races. But before you do, I'm sure you've got loads of offers for us at York.
Yeah, well, in this particular race, we've got two offers, actually. It's the top industry price on every runner from midday on Saturday. So those of you who don't know, the price ladder, you'll get the next price up. So we're offering 130, you get 7-2. We're offering 9-2, you get 5-1. So basically, those that know about margins in betting, it reduces the margin on the overall book. So it's better value, the race itself. And also, we're offering, I think, super boost in this race as well. So there are two good offers to have a look at here. And it's a race that I particularly like. I think King's Gambit is a really good bet here. If you look at the horses he has to take on today or Saturday, compared to the horses he last took on when he was racing at York, it's like chalk and cheese. He was racing against the likes of Los Angeles and Illinois at York in his last race. And before that, he ran second in the city of York. So he's got two good performances on the York track. This drop back down to a mile one, I think that will help him. He's been running over further. And he, to me, he just looks the best horse in the race. He is joint top rated on 113. And I think this is the first chance that he has of winning this season. So King's Gambit's going to be my selection in the Strenzel Stakes, which is always a good race. And in the 4.10, the handicap, we're going an extra place, and the 6-furlong handicap with 20 runners in it. You will need an extra place. But there's a horse that, when Harry was talking about a horse as a stupid prize, I actually really thought he was going to mention the one I'm going to tip up, which is Tropical Storm, who's ridden by Oisin Murphy and trained by Andrew Balding. 25-1, I thought it was a misprint when I looked at the price, because he's 2 from 2 at York. 2 for 2 for Oisin Murphy at York. Okay, over 5 furlongs. This is 6 furlongs. But reading the excellent quotes in the Racing Post, Andrew Balding said that he was looking to put him up to 6 furlongs. I just think it's a big price, 25-1 with Oisin Murphy. I can't believe it'll go off that price. 2 from 2 at York. He's obviously better. We've spoken about York before. It is a course where horses come back and run well at time and time again. There's something about that flat York track. It is 6 furlongs. He is 25-1. But I just thought Tropical Storm, who's put up his 2 best RPRs at York as well, it has to be said, I thought he had a really good chance. So, yeah, 25-1 poke in the 4.10.
Now, I'd like to see big prices. That's Tropical Storm in the 4.10 and Johnny and Ed teaming up with King's Gambit in the opener of the Strenzel at 150. We're going to have a short break and we will be back to look at the 2 televised races at Goodwood. Let's head over to Goodwood. We've got 2 live races there on Saturday, and the ground is good at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. We're going to look at the 2.05 at Goodwood. That's the Virgin Bet Every Saturday Money Back Handicap, and the 2.40, the Live Score Total Betting Experience Handicap. Harry, you can kick us off. Those 2 races, what do you like?
In the 2.05, James, I like Mudbeer, who we saw winning at Glorious Goodwood. You could argue that he was a touch fortunate to win that. He bumped the runner-up in a close home and had to survive a steward's inquiry. I think the runner-up has got a massive chance in the last today, as we record on Thursday. And if she wins, it'll only enhance my thoughts that this guy's going to win as well. And the interesting point with him is that he's wearing first-time cheap pieces. He's a half-brother to Mossadaf, and he won all his Group 1s wearing cheap pieces. So it's interesting that connections have gone for that piece of headgear. And then in the following race, it's a bit of a cliff horse for me, and that's Warder Jamila. She hasn't even run that well, to be honest, recently, but it was her reappearance at Epsom that really caught my eye. She was a close 4th from the back in a race where it paid to be prominent. She was 3rd at Goodwood on her only try, at the Glorious meeting last year. I'm just hoping that a return there might see her bounce back. She's well handicapped regardless, and hopefully the course just helps her a little bit.
Okay, so that's Mudbeer in the 2.05 and Warder Jamila 12-1, second outsider in the race for Harry in the 2.40. Let's go to you, Ed. 2.05 and 2.40, Goodwood.
Yeah, 2.05, ultra competitive handicap. We're offering our money back as cash if you come 2nd or 3rd in this race. That's a really good offer for this particular race because it is competitive. And you also have the option of the extra place in this race with the 12 runners. And just to highlight how competitive it is, 7 of the last 12 won last time out. It's a really difficult race, but I'm a big fan of Great Acclaim. He's a fantastic horse to own. He's won, I think, £120,000 in his career. He's won 2 racing league races. He certainly won one, and he's won a race at Glorious Goodwood. So he goes on the track, we know. He has to overcome a highest ever rating of 96, I think he's on. He's won off 89, but he's got every chance of doing so. I note that he's only won his last few races by a neck and a neck, I think. He's that kind of horse. I think he doesn't do too much. I think he has won by a length and 3 quarters in the past, but I just like it the way he's running and the way he's improving, and he likes the course. So Great Acclaim would be my selection there. In the 2.40 at Goodwood, we're going Super Boost. And I agree with Harry. I've got down Warder Jamila, who, as Harry said, hasn't run very well lately. But I think you can make excuses. If you're looking for excuses, you can find excuses anywhere, I know. But with this particular horse, Southall, Chester, Epsom, not the most straightforward courses. And that was his only run on the all-weather. So you didn't know whether he took to it or not. He's 3 from 13 on the flat anyway. Just thought he had a good chance. Back down to 85, which was his last winning rating as well has been kind of up to 89, I think. So, yeah, a lot of positives for that horse. And I thought there were a lot of negatives for plenty of the others, which makes the positive even more positive.
Certainly does. So, Ed is teaming up with Harry on Warder Jamila at 12-1, and Great Acclaim is his selection in the 205. Just you, leaves you, Johnny, to finish us off. Those two races, please.
Yeah, that's okay. And a horse that, as far as I can tell, seems to be running every week, and that's Billy Joe in the 205. I think he keeps running well without necessarily winning. He was 8-21 at Ascot not long ago, beaten best part of five runs, but that was a strong race. It was behind Great Acclaim last time. He breaks a bit too slowly a lot of the time, and he needs a strong pace. But in these handicaps, a lot of time you do get that pace. You know, he'll run well, but he's the sort of horse that needs absolutely everything to go right for him. So he can be quite a frustrating one to watch. But I'll give him an each-way chance again. And then in the 240, Prince of the Seas is an interesting runner for Rafe Beckett. He's not quite delivered on what he started off in the Blue Ribbon Derby trial at Epsom. It was a bit disappointing in that. Didn't run too well in the Lingfield Derby trial either, but then really poor at Haydock. But he ran at Ascot, 12 days ago, something like that? And that was the best performance he's put in for a long time when he's in the Shergar Cup. Tenability was a strong favourite that day for William Haggis. Won well. Prince of Seas wasn't too far off. And if he comes in that sort of form, I can see him improving and stepping forward again. Jack Day's claims 5, and I can see him finally getting his head in front this season.
Yeah, he's a short prize, but the Beckett Yard are coming back into form, which is a crucial element as well, having won the Great Voltigeur with Prince of Arras. So that's Prince of Seas in the 240 for Johnny, and he's gone for a bit of a big price in the 205 on Billy Joe. Before we go on to our best bets, Johnny, you're going to take us around the world. It's not just about Britain on Saturday, this weekend, should I say. What else should we be looking out for, and what tips you got for us?
Well, it depends what time you want to start on Saturday. You've got the Group 1 Winx Stakes down in Australia, which Via Sestina runs in, and she's going for, she keeps winning Group 1s out there, which is quite remarkable, her record over there. And in Saratoga, there's 5 grade ones on the dirt on Saturday evening. And in the Travers, the final race, you've got Sovereignty running again. And he's arguably the best 3-year-old colt in the world. I mean, I know it's on dirt and off turf, and you've got to distinguish between those two, but he's arguably the best 3-year-old in the world at the moment. So that's if you're into dirt racing, that could be exciting for you. And there's loads of group racing over in Dover again. It's their month of the year. And you've got the pre-morning, the 2-year-old race on Sunday, and there's I can't remember what the other race is, but Cinderella's Dream, who I said would not get beaten at Royal Ascot, and she duly did get beaten, is entered to run again. So hopefully she can get another win under her belt.
Yeah, that pre-morning in particular, Johnny, looks a great race with Gustad in there, Copple, the Goodwood winner, True Loves, Venetian Sun. It's essentially they could move out to Ascot or something by the look of the runners. But nevertheless, the pre-morning worth watching on Sunday. And Ed, you've also got something for us outside of those ITV races.
Yeah, but you mentioned earlier on about the Richard Hernan blog for Rosalie, and it's really quite important you read it at the weekend. He's got 10 runners on Saturday, and he's talking about each and every one of them available on Unibet, probably from later on this evening, I would have thought. But there is one that he does talk about that he couldn't believe got beat last time. I think anyone that watched the race won't believe that Veronti got beat at Kempton last time out. Rami came from the clouds, and Veronti lost in running price of 106. Rami could be quite special, Roger Varian's 3-year-old. But Veronti, who's well-related to Heredi, a half-sister to Heredi, who viewers and listeners might remember being a good horse, won a listed Group 3 and then recently won a grade 2 in America. Veronti needs to win 3 runs, and I think Veronti will run well and will probably win the 3:15 at Goodwood on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Ed. And as Ed mentions, you can read all those comments on the Unibet blog and a bit more about our sponsors right here.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live stream of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time of the show to find out our best bets across the ITV action. And where else to start but our man in form, Harry Wilson. What have you got for us on Saturday? Every time out.
My knack on Saturday comes with Turf 5 Goodwood, and that is Mudbeer. He's won his last two, putting a horse in the distance last time. And the fitting a cheap piece should help him. His half brother, Mossback, won multiple group runs in that headgear. So I can see him improving.
That is Mudbeer in the 2.05 at Goodwood. Johnny Pearson, the nap, please.
Yeah, it's going to be King's Gambit in the 1.50 at York. I think he'll just prove to be a class above the rest. And for a bit of fun, I might put him in a double with Rosalian as well. I think the pair of them should really be winning this weekend.
And that leads me so well onto my nap, Johnny, doesn't it? I am going to go for Rosalian. I just think he's worth a bet. I think he wins. Straightforward. Hopefully, will be straightforward as well. Ed, we've gone for two straightforward ones. Are you going to do the same?
No, I'm going for a completely left field selection in the Ebor. Currently 25-1. I'm hoping that it's not a wooden horse and Siege of Troy can come home at least in a place. In the Ebor, we will have six places in the Ebor. And this horse finished fourth at Royal Ascot. He's actually well handicapped. If you look at Ethical Diamond, who's favourite or second favourite, he's actually well in with that run at Royal Ascot. He subsequently run against two really highly rated individuals. And Johnny Murta is just amazing at this race. He's won it twice from just three runners. So I think Siege of Troy at big prices might just get into the frame, running over 1.6 up in trip for the first time.
Thank you very much to all our panellists. That's Ed Nicholson from Unibet, Johnny Pearson, our handicapper, and the Harry Wilson Racing Post tip. So thanks again to you for watching along, and you make sure to rate, review, and subscribe if you're a fan of the show. As always, leave us your comments if you've got a selection for us. Have we missed anything? Is there a winner lurking elsewhere away from the ITV cameras? Let us know in that comment box. And do make sure to check out the Racing Post for all latest coverage across the Ebor Festival. Loads more tips and insight from all members of our team. But for now, do make sure to join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday for the postcast, where Sandown is the main highlight next weekend. But as always, enjoy the Ebor. Very best of luck with your selections. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.